to an automated voice messaging system.
Can everyone hear me now? Hopefully you can. Hopefully everyone is there now. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can hear you.
All right. I'm using a new system to speak through to you all through my headset, a new headset, so that my sound can sound more clear and better and more focused. And it didn't want to sync up between my headset and my computer.
Well, you definitely sound more clear.
Thank you. I took your advice, and it didn't sync up correctly like I thought it had before the show started. So, sorry about that.
It's all good.
That was my fault. Okay, so we're in now. Good evening to everyone. Jamila, that's you. Introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Jamila Coleman. I'm 32 years old. It's all good. It happens all the time. That's why I like to be called Jam. Yes, like a piece of bread on toast or your favorite song. That's my jam. I have primary lymphedema. I'm a huge nerd, so talk to me about anime or Star Wars or Lego, and it's off. House Gryffindor.
Ah. Hey, Papa. Okay, thank you. And so, Lady T, are you there?
I am here. I just wanted to pass a message on to you that I received from a mutual friend that says that our other guest, Katrina, is trying to get on, and I guess she's having a hard time getting on.
Yeah,
I
got a message from her, too.
But if someone could forward her the number, or I can do it afterwards. what's up?
Let me see if I can forward it to her. If you could get her number, and that way send it to me, and I can possibly try to call her in. It'll probably work out better that way. We might be a little bit crowded tonight. And that might be a reason why, because there are quite a few people in the call log, and that might be why she's having a hard time. But if you get her number for me, I can possibly call her and add her in. Three-way.
Yeah. Okay. I think you were
just
waiting on. She was waiting on the line while you were getting connected. So I think it was the wait time. But now I can't reach her. She's no longer on Facebook.
So
hopefully someone has her number.
Hopefully. I'm sorry about that. It was my fault that she couldn't get in.
New systems rarely go off without a hitch, just like the first pancake. It's your first time trying that new thing, so next time it'll go over better. No worries.
Yeah, I thank you. I appreciate that. I feel the same way, because the last time I did a show, and I think after you and I had talked, and you told me that about the sound, and I was like, okay, and I tried, and I went back and I re-listened to the show, and I did not like it. I was like, oh my God, is this what people have been hearing forever? Oh my gosh, this sounds horrible. And so I deleted it, and I'm going to have to re-record that show all the way over, because I couldn't let that go out. It sounded it did not sound good at all. So, but I'm glad that I sound more clear and more defined, I hope, tonight than I have been. Again, Jam, thank you for telling me that. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, ladies, so now that we've got that in and done, I'm sorry that Katrina, I hope that she tries to call back in. Katrina, if you're listening, please call back in. It was my fault that it went off that way. I apologize, but I would love for you to come back on. And, yes, of course, you can go first. So, first of all, I want to ask and make sure this month is lymphedema support month awareness. Am I correct?
Yes. It's lymphedema awareness month.
Okay.
And this was World Lymphedema Day.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was just about to say. And the 6th was World Lymphedema Day. Okay. So I looked at your videos on YouTube, and I had seen them before, before I even knew that we were in the same group together, because yeah, I watched it before, the first one. I think it was like after you had just had surgery on your leg, and a couple of months after that, huh?
I said, you saw that one way back.
Yeah, I did. And then it was like I saw your picture in the group in Juicy Peaches, but then I was like, is that the same young lady? You know, I was like, I don't know. But then I clicked on it, and it was you, and I was like, oh, wow, it is her. Because I used to watch, I remember the very first true, it was sort of like not Born Different, but a true life story. The first time I came in contact with lymphedema, I watched a true life story on MTV. And I can't remember the young lady's name. This is so long ago. I'm going to age myself, but that's okay.
I love True Life, and I know exactly what episode you're talking about, because that was the very first time that I saw lymphedema represented anywhere besides my mom. So for me, that episode was majorly impactful, because when I was a kid and a teenager, I didn't know I had lymphedema. I just knew my mom had it. So to see anyone else in the world with lymphedema, because we didn't have like the internet really, social media wasn't nearly the giant while True Life was going on. So I saw no one else with lymphedema but that True Life episode. So I know exactly which one you're talking about.
And that was my first experience coming in contact with the lymphedema or what it was, because then it made me take a look at myself, and I was like, is this what going, because I was, at the time, I myself was having some issues, because I've been plus size, super size, obese, morbidly obese, whatever you want to call it. I have been that all of my life. And as I've gotten older, I've gradually gotten larger. And to see that I was in my, I think I was in my late 20s when that happened, that episode came up, because I do remember, following her, because I remember seeing her story on there and then finding her on the internet, because she had a website.
Oh, pardon me. I'm talking to Katrina on Facebook. She's asking if we can hear her, because she says that she's on right now.
Okay, hold on. Hello, Katrina, is that you?
Yes, I was here, you know, when she first said that, you know, she was having problems.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't hear you before.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine. I know you said that you needed... Go ahead. I know I want you to go ahead and share what you like to share, because I know you said that you don't have a lot of time. So thank you for calling back in. I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's no problem. Yeah, no, I don't have a lot of time. I've already had something planned for this evening. But thank you all for having me on. I greatly appreciate it. Sorry, my voice is going in and out. Yes, it is Lymphedema Awareness Month for me. I have lipoedema and lymphedema. I have two of the conditions. So I have secondary lymphedema and I have primary lipoedema. So that's the difference between me and Jamila's conditions. But you can go ahead and finish talking to Jamila.
No, go ahead. Finish what you're saying, because I want you to share your story or what you would like for the listening audience to know and have enough time to do that. So please, the floor is yours.
Well, for me, anytime I get the opportunity to raise awareness about lipolymphedema for me, it's huge, because a lot of people have gone undiagnosed with having lipoedema. Lymphedema, it gets a lot of attention because it's the norm, and it pretty much has a better explanation versus lipoedema. So with lipoedema, lipoedema is a fat storage disorder of the adipose tissue. Put it in layman's terms, we have what we call diseased fat, and the way it grows, it just continues to accumulate. I don't have normal fat cells or tissue. I don't want to say, I don't like to say normal or regular people, like other people that we are used to visually seeing. So it causes my legs to be disfigured, and it's fat that you can't get rid of. So no matter how much dieting I do, no matter how much exercising I do or anything like that, lipoedema is fat that you cannot get rid of. I've had surgery to debulk my legs just when they get big or get mass or nodules. A lot of times you'll see big, huge mass, or you'll see fat nodules or whatever people call it. A lot of the times it appears as you have corn under your skin. That's kind of what the disease fat looks like. Or look like somebody may have extreme cellulite is what people like to call it. I call it hail damage. It's my hail damage, because that's what it looked like, just a bunch of hail damage to me. So, I mean, I'm comfortable. Like, I grew up just being fat, right? So, for me, I've always just been the big girl. So, I guess, at the age of 6, I was wearing my mother's clothes. By the time I was 9, I was 200 pounds. By the time I was 16, I was 406 pounds, and in high school. So my aunt used to always say, no, it's something wrong, it's something wrong. This girl too active. Like, she just, it's something not adding up. You know, 1 + 1, not 1 here, not 2 here. It's, you know, it's just not adding up. So... I was just like, okay, girl. For me, it was just my life. It was just what it was. I have tried every diet. I did every exercise. I done been to the fat farm. Like, I have did everything from a child. So it was, I guess for a lot of people, that would be a very hard life to live. But I appreciated that I didn't get diagnosed till I was 35. And a lot of people be like, that's crazy. Like, why wouldn't you want to know earlier? And for me, the reason why I didn't want to know, I had lipoedema or lymphedema earlier, or I appreciated the fact that I got diagnosed at 35 was because I just grew up being fat. And that's just, I knew I had to love me, right? So, and this is just my personal opinion, what I'm about to say. I get criticized on it all the time, but it's just my personal opinion. Like, for me, I feel like a lot of times, as when younger children get diagnosed with certain things, they allow it to become a crutch. Or they allow just the diagnosis itself to be a disability, right? So for me, I just had to appreciate who, with me and my belief, who God created me to be. I had to appreciate that I was fearfully and wonderfully made, and this just what it was. So we're going to let the good times roll. And I always had good self-esteem, and I thank God that I got validated at home. So, you know, I just grew up being that person. Like, people in school just be like, you just don't care and don't. So when I got diagnosed, yes, it was some form of validation, and it was some form of, you know, my aunt always saying, yeah, something wrong, something wrong. So we finally know what the something wrong is. But yeah, I didn't feel deflated. I didn't feel any type of way after you find out you got something wrong, but there's no cure for this something wrong, right? And I felt like if I would have figured that out or knew that earlier, that might would have harmed me. That might would have deflated me. I might not would have been prepared to know that I have all of this going on and there's no cure. And I just felt like I had to learn to love myself and to accept that and just to move on. So now it's time to spread the word. Now it's time to make noise about it. Now it's time to just live out loud. Like, it's a soul. Whatever people feel about you, it's a soul. However they're going to talk about your legs, it's a soul. Like, yes, live. You know, I guess the hardest part about it for me is just the transition and everything that go on behind the scenes, you know, that people don't see. So that's pretty much the hard part for me. But my, I guess, stand on it all is it's nothing we can do about it. Because there's no cure. You have your certain treatments and stuff you could do. Yes, do all of that. Do everything you can do. But I have just so many friends who passed away from having lipolymphedema, and they didn't live. They just laid in their bed and died. Like, they didn't have the fight. They didn't have the drive. Yes, it is hard. And it's very hard, especially if you don't have a support system. It is super, super hard, and I get it, and I understand because I have to deal with it and live with it every day. But if anybody take anything from me, I want you to push. I want you to push past the pain. I want you to push past how it makes you feel because of how it looks. And I want you to continue to live your life because we only get one. And you don't need to be ashamed or be concerned about what people say. They don't know your struggle. They don't know what you got going on, right? That's just know that they got something going on, too, that you can't see. And sometimes you can see it. Right? So I really want people to understand that that's a soul. And when you get that in your spirit, that it's a soul, so what? That's how they feel. Like, what are their thoughts profiting you? See, I can't control what people say, think, feel, or do. I only can control who God created me to be and for me to live the best life that I can in that. So, yes, I'm going to have my splits up my leg. Yes, I'm going to put on a pair of short shorts if that's what I want to wear. I'm going to wear my short skirt, and me and these big old legs, we're going to do what we're going to have to do, roll around in this wheelchair and keep it moving, okay? Okay.
That's good. Okay.
So I just want people
exactly.
just to push, like push. It's a hard
yeah.
fight. Reach out to somebody. Call somebody. Don't just lay down and die. Just speak
mm-hmm.
life over yourself. Tell yourself every day you should live and not die. Like, because people don't know
mm-hmm.
with everything that go on behind, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy. The pain is unbearable. And I get that. In these days, I my motto is I'm going to do what I can do, and what I can't, I'm going to side on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just that. And you just have to be
yeah.
okay with that. And know that this is your new normal. This is what it is for you. And it's a soul. So that is my story, and that is just my take and what I want people to take away from this. That's why I'm grateful for Unique putting forth this expo and, you know, really highlighting people who have lipolymphedema and their struggles in and out of the hospitals, having no support, you know, just never being able to go different places just because you can't fit in, like all of that. Make your
yeah.
own name. Bring your own table
yeah.
to the party. Bring your own chair to the party. Whatever it takes, you do that. And so I'm grateful, you know, that she decided to do this. I'm grateful that it was laid on her heart to push and listen. She is a trailblazer. She is working super, super hard to make it happen. Like, I've never seen the drive and the goal. Like, even for me, like, I be trying, but, like, she done surpassed me. So,
mm-hmm.
But I'm just grateful that I was able to come into her life, you know, and just to see her greatness and see her flourish and see what she's doing. And I just, you know, pray that everybody who is involved, who's not involved, just everywhere, just be blessed, and they continue to love on yourself and love who you are, exactly where you stand, exactly how you look, and exactly where you are. And thank you so much for having me on. If you have any questions.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for coming on and sharing. I really appreciate that. You're very inspirational. And it speaks not just to lymphedema or lipedema, but it speaks across the board to everything. You have to push.
Right.
And you have to get up, and you have to continue to fight. Yeah.
Tita, I'm so
totally
excited
agree.
To be doing the butterfly ball with you.
I know, girl. We're going to have to fly on, girl.
We're going to tear it up at this event. We are going to tear it up. I don't know.
Definitely
excited. Unique might not know what she's in for, putting the two of us together to co-host that event.
I think she knew.
Maybe. you know, I am extra.
Yes, and I'm extra with glitter.
Oh, I love glitter. That's a great
thing. I think she had a very good idea. That's exactly
how
my family members describe me. As they just say that I am glitter. I am just glitter in human form.
That's a great thing to be. I love glitter.
I'll take it.
That's a great thing. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Movie girl.
No matter how much you try to forget me and act like I wasn't there, you will always find the remnants of this glitter.
Exactly.
Okay, girl.
It
leave
will
it behind,
show up.
Baby. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Leave a trail of it. Leave it behind. That's what you have to do. Like I say, make your own name, baby. Let them know. I'm here.
And I love that when you said, bring your own table, Katrina. You bring your own table, bring your own chair. I say that often. I tell people, I come with my own wheels. I come with my own chair.
Listen.
I don't need you. Thank you. I don't need your chair.
And
I have my own feet. Yeah.
Yeah, like, but even when I wasn't in a wheelchair, I'm sorry, y'all. Even when I wasn't in a wheelchair
okay?
or whatever, like, if I was going to an event, if I was going to a concert, if I was going to a restaurant, and I know they stuff didn't accommodate me, I kept my, I popped the trunk. I kept me a seat in the trunk. Who do you think you're playing with?
Okay.
I don't feel no type
Speak
of way about it.
Speak
I don't feel no type
it.
Of way about it. And that's what I want everybody to exercise their boldness. You have a right. You have a right to live in this world. You have a right to do what you want to do in this world.
Exactly.
And you need to exercise your right. Don't allow nobody to put you in no box or dumb you down or make you feel no type of way just because you look different than what they do. That ain't what we're doing.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No, because you'll have a problem
Man.
With me. So,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Don't put any babies in the corner. Don't put me in no corner. Don't put me in no box. I am who I am. And you're right. You have to. And I was just talking to today to an organization about being disabled and having a place, you know, within their organization as a disabled person. And they were like, well, I don't consider myself disabled. And I'm like, well, I get that and I respect that, but that's not everybody's story. And there are some people that you just can't, you know, you can't help it. You are what you are. And we all just want a place to fit. A place to be where we can be ourselves. And as I was saying that to them, I was like, that's all that we want. You know, we're not looking for any special, even as a plus-size woman, not looking for any special accommodation. We just want to be welcomed and let me come in. Like, if you got to move over a little bit, what's wrong with that? I can bring my own stuff. I just need a seat. You know what I'm saying? A space. And I tried to get them to understand that today. So I don't think they did. But it's okay. Because you just have to keep knocking on that wall and just keep fighting and not give up, basically. So.
Yeah, a lot of people are not going to get it, right? They're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's your job just to show up. That's
exactly.
how I feel. That's just your job just to show up. And that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to pop up and I'm going to show up. Like, I done been put out of places. I done been told I can't come in. I done been told I'm not welcome. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could try to put me in the corner. That's going to be the most lit corner you ever encounter, right? To where you don't want to be in there. The same person that tried to keep me out going to want to be in the corner where we at because we're going to be lit. So, listen. I don't, you just can't, you just got to be free in all of that. And I'm so grateful that I learned early that I did not create me. So this is just my feelings. Like, I did not create me. So I feel as if though I don't have the authority to not like who God created me to be.
Sure.
And that's just how I live my life.
I would like to piggyback off of that with who are we to question God's placement of ourselves in this world? God knew that we would be differently shaped or even have invisible illness that makes us think differently. Like, I am neurodivergent. I have ADHD. And on top of that, I'm Black. So when I'm late to something, I'm very late. So But God knew that. God knew that I would have lymphedema. Who am I to question him saying this world needs a Jamila? This world needs a Katrina. This world needs a Shalanda, a Stacy, Jackie, whoever. God has a plan and a reason why he said, I need this color. While he put all the different colors of the rainbow, he knew exactly what colors he needed and where he wanted them. Who am I to question that ultimate design?
But not only that, just think about it. The world would be so boring if all of us was alike. Like, what would be the purpose? Like, what would be the purpose? What would be the takeaway? Like, I'm tired of seeing you because you look like me. Like, what? What we doing? Like, no. So So it's
you would just be striving to be different.
Huh?
I said we would just be striving to be different. Think about it. Everybody's trying to be different from each other, yet the same. And here we are born different, and yet sometimes we feel like we want to be the same. It's ridiculous, an endless cycle of madness.
Girl, it is. But one thing I want to say, whoever you feel like your God is, whoever you feel like created you, whatever your religious purposes is, I'm just talking from mine and what, you know, I believe in and my belief. Like, I don't knock nobody, and I love everybody. Okay, let me say that. But for me, like, That's where I pull my strength from. I pull my strength from my faith when I want to give up, because I do want to give up.
Now,
it's times I want to throw in the towel and tap out, but what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I can't, like, I have a thing I call the butterfly effect or the 24 effect. Let me say the 24 effect because you can understand it better. So for me, any situation that I encounter in life, anything I go through in life, I attach 24 to it. And what I mean is, I don't know, if I'm going through this morning, I woke up and I'm in pain and I had a bad day and I want to be upset about it, I choose to give it 24 seconds, 24 hours, or 24 minutes. So some instances I done had to go for the 24 days. So once my 24 hours is up, if I choose them hours, I'm going to soak for 24 hours. I'm going to dwell in my own mess for 24 hours. But, honey, when that 24 is up, I'm going to get up. I'm going to be about my business, make me feel good, and leave it where I left it at. Like, you have to challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Having lymphedema, having lymphedema, it beyond those wraps, it is, it, listen, that's what people see. They see the wraps. They see the disfigurement. It just don't come with me having no big legs, baby. It just don't come with me having no big arms or wherever you may have it at in your body. Like, that's the least of it. But the real struggle happens when you close those doors. The real struggle happens late in the midnight hour when can't nobody see you. Like, that's when the real struggle happens. So
it happens
just
when you're just
about
sitting quiet.
The mindset and just really fighting.
I agree. It is about the mindset, and you have to change it, and you have to be in it. And by that I mean you can't. I have a cancer, and in the midst of me getting that diagnosis, I stepped away from myself, mentally, physically, everything. And that was the wrong move to make, because now it's like I'm playing catch up and I'm having to tap back in and basically start all over, which is a good thing in its own way, but at the same time, I've wasted time. You know, I've wasted a lot of time of having to try to get my mind right, try to get focused and centered and in that fight when I could have been there and flourishing and thriving and moving on in different avenues. So that's what I mean by you have to stay in it. You have to stay focused in it, in whatever your struggle may be at that time. Because you can't tap out. You can't, no matter how much you want to, you just can't. And you have to find something to hold on to. So I definitely get that. I definitely get that. Yeah.
That's
I really appreciate
it. It's good to have a support system, you know? It is good
to
have a support system. Get yourself a village. If you don't do nothing else, and it may not be your family, because a lot of times they don't understand, okay?
That's
right. I need people to get that and to know that. Your village may not be your family.
Exactly.
And let that be okay, right?
Yes.
Your family, that's who you're related to.
Mm-hmm.
Blood don't make you family to me. That's who I'm related to. I was born into that. That's my relation. My family are the people who show up for me. My family is the people I can call 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm about to just give it all up. Like, mm-hmm. my family is the people who are going to check on me because they know my mental health not stable right now.
Exactly.
So get you a village, get you a family, get your support system, like whoever it is. And I always, a lot of times we try to depend on just one person. Try to get you more than one person in your village, because there is a such thing as burnout, right? Even when it comes to caregivers, even it comes to the people who help us, try to make you a village. But you have to be intentional about making this village. Intentional, but you can't just go get anybody. You have to really get people who are going to support you and be down with you, and you know this at the drop of anything. So you just have to just make sure that you're in that space and get that, because it is very pivotal that you listen. If I can't stress nothing else, like, get you a village, because it will be such a great help. And always try to find you, at least have one person in the village who going through what you're going through. Because even though you got a village, that don't mean they understand, because they not walking in your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be my takeaways from it. I'm so, like I said, excited about this expo. I hope I see everybody there. Stop by my table. Stop by my booth. Come to my class. Listen, all of that. I hope to see you all there. My time is far spent. Thank you so much for having me again. I hate I can't stay the whole time, but I had previous engagement. But thank you so much, and I hope everybody have a blessed night.
You do the same. Thank you for giving us some of your time. I really appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes. You have a good evening. Be safe out there.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Thank you. I'm sorry, y'all. My allergies are very much so. Very inspirational. Wonderful. Yeah. And I watched
allergy
her stories before, too.
Hmm? Allergy-wise, I highly, highly, highly suggest some ginger lemon tea. It is a game changer, especially if you add honey.
Yes, you're right. And I have that. I'm also in the process of getting some supplements that I just found out, but I got to do a little bit more research on them to see if they will work for me. But I am definitely, thank you for that suggestion. Yeah, I have that tea and peppermint and all that. But yeah, allergies are whipping me already. But yeah, so I want to get back into Lady T. I want her to tell us a little bit about her story as well. Lady T, you here? I don't guess she's on the other line. She's on another line. I don't know. Anyway, okay, Jam. It's just you and I. She's on another line. So, but as we were talking about in the beginning about the true life story, as we were saying, that was the first introduction to lymphedema. Now, I was looking up your specific condition. How do you say it? Could you tell me exactly how to say it? Because I want to make sure I'm saying it right.
It's a biggie. Lymphedema, dysticiasis.
Dysticiasis? I can't get my tongue right. I said I can't get my tongue right. Dysticiasis? Is that right?
Dysticiasis.
Tickiasis. Okay. Okay.
Because
when I heard you say it, I was like, and you also have a mutation, a FOX 2 mutation?
That's part, we're not done with the name. That's part of it. Lymphedema dysticiasis syndrome of the FOXC2 mutation.
Okay. And the
FOXC2 part speaks to the specific gene that was mutated at birth.
It's the gene, and they also call it something, a fox hook gene or something like that. That's where the fox comes in. Is that right? Am I saying that right?
I don't know about the fox hook. I know it's the fox C2, like C as in cat, fox C2 mutation.
And it said, when I was looking it up, the name FOX, it came from the actual gene, and the actual gene is a fox hook. That was what it said. Yeah. It was called, it has a fox hook head on it, and that was the name of the gene.
Yeah.
So yeah. I didn't know if you... So, yeah, and I was reading that. I also was reading. So, can I ask you a question, if you don't mind? Because I'm just curious.
Yeah. Of course.
Do you have the double row of eyelashes as well?
That's actually how I got diagnosed.
Okay.
So, your girl doesn't buy any fake lashes. God already set me up with that. I just use some all-natural mascara, and then I'm good.
For people that are listening, one of the ways that you are able to be diagnosed with JAM syndrome is you have these double row of eyelashes. And that usually tells doctors or whatever to look for this FOXC2 gene, and they get that, then you get that diagnosis. I can't say that D word, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
it's really like a... from what I read, it's like a syndrome of itself. Is that correct? Would that be, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Yeah, I was actually diagnosed by, thank you. I always appreciate when someone takes the time to educate themselves and get invested when talking to me, whether it's a friend or I've done a couple other podcasts, even doctors that aren't familiar with it, when they take the time to actually learn about it in order to engage with me, I take it to heart and very personal, because my mother didn't have that. I count myself blessed to be born in the time that I am, because the knowledge that my mom had when I was growing up about her lymphedema was very limited. So now that there's so much more knowledge out there, I always consider it a privilege. So thank you for looking it up. And I was diagnosed by a dermatologist that said, oh, you have a beautiful smile. And she got all up in my face with a magnifying glass. And she's like, you have beautiful eyelashes. You have a double layer of eyelashes. This is the type of lymphedema you have. And it was a wrap after that.
Wow. Wow.
And it just so happened that I was having a dermatologist look at me because I was about to have surgery for a type of lymphedema that at the time no one knew about except for this one dermatologist that was prepping my skin for my skin grafts for surgery.
Get out of here.
Even my plastic surgeon didn't know what type of lymphedema I had. she thought after surgery I would never have any swelling again. But because we found out just a week before surgery that I had this primary lymphedema, we found out that it was going to spread to a different area, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
But we would be able to catch it and get it under control.
Okay.
By knowing it was going to go somewhere else.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Now my medical head is all into it. Because now I'm like,
it's so important to have a team of doctors. It really is.
It really is. It really is.
That's why I go to Emory, because you do, when you go there, you get a team, not just one hospitalist. You get a team.
You sure do. You sure do. I like that about Emory as well. My oncologist that I was seeing at Emory, not only was she an oncologist, but she is also a professor. So she was like, would you mind if some of my students come around? And I always enjoy when students come around with doctors. I know, right? It's just like, and they ask questions, and they're like, they want to ask questions, but they don't, because it's like, well, should I? And I'm like, what do you want to ask? Oh, you're so open. You just don't mind. You'll talk about anything, won't you? I'm like, yeah, I would rather you get it from the source than get the wrong information, you know? So,
exactly.
Yeah, I love it. But, yeah, shout out to Dr. Ruth Sachs at Emory. but, yeah, I love her.
Shout out to Dr. Chang. And Dr.
Yes, shout them out, girl. Yes, we shout out doctors around here, because it's, you know, when you run into really good doctors, they're good at what they do, but at the same time, they have not forgot their humanness. It really makes a difference in the care. I can even say the doctor that diagnosed my cancer. He was a good guy. I was mad at him. It wasn't his fault, but I was pissed at him. But he's a really good guy as well. So, yeah, it really makes a difference when you have those kind of doctors corner that really support you. And he kept emphasizing, you're going to be okay. You're a fighter. I can see it. You're going to be okay. So, shout out to really good doctors. I really appreciate them. But
for sure.
When you were talking about you got diagnosed and your diagnosis, and I'm not, and again, if it's too much, we got our safe word and we can go on, you know, we can move on from that. But I just wanted to ask a couple of quick other questions about your diagnosis. So I know that you have your lymphedema. Is it mainly in your legs, or are you getting it everywhere now?
It stays with it. Originally it was in my right leg only, my lower right leg. But now it's spread to a mass on my inner thigh, inner right thigh, and swelling in my bottom left leg.
Okay. Okay. And so with the mass on your thigh, and listen, I ask because as a plus size woman, you know, there are things that you look at on your own body and you're like, is that, could it be, what is that? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a personal thing as well, because I'm looking like,
yeah,
could this be me as well? Could I have this? Do I have this? I don't necessarily have it in my legs, but there are other parts of my body. And I've often wondered, but when I have question my doctor, because I am a researcher. So going through and researching and finding out your syndrome, your type of lymphedema, that was just chef kiss for me. Because I got to do a deep dive, and I really learned a lot, you know. So I enjoy that kind of stuff. I really do.
I was just wondering myself,
also.
So I respect it.
I am such a researcher. I was also wondering, let me form this question right. When you were diagnosed with your syndrome, have you personally met anyone else or with your particular syndrome or something different? I know that Katrina has lymphedema and lipedema, but have you met anyone else with your particular syndrome?
No, I have not.
Really?
Really. I have doctors that have only had maybe one other patient besides me that have this particular syndrome. It is considered rare. Or as my hospitalist, he says lymphedema is already a complex illness. And he said that I take a complex illness and make it juicy.
Yeah. Most definitely. Yeah.
I was just like, I guess that's fitting since I'm in Juicy Peaches. I make it juicy. Why not? I'll take
exactly
it.
Right. Yeah. And my primary doctor, he used to say, only you would go and get something that no one else has ever heard of. And it's just, only you, stomach flu. Who's ever heard of stomach flu? Getting the stomach flu, but anyway. So is that rare? And yes, the other doctor, there's no one else in Georgia or anywhere that the doctors examine that you said see one other person. There's nowhere near you, or they're just somewhere else in the world.
I wouldn't know. They just say, they read the chart and they're like, you have this type of lymphedema. I've read about it. I've never met anybody with it. And it's just, my lymphedema therapist, I believe she had another patient with my exact type of lymphedema.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a lymphedema therapist. So she gets to see more people with lymphedema than a lot of normal hospitalists do, but I personally have never met or come into contact with anyone else. And believe me, I've tried with my type of lymphedema.
I get that. I would try to as well. So when you say you have a therapist, is that a massage? Because I know that they say the massage therapy and you do the rap. Because I noticed in your video, your boyfriend was helping you put your wraps on. Is that something that happens often? Does he have to help you more? How does that work, if you don't mind talking about it?
Oh, I am one of the biggest advocate for rapping. So rapping is something that I am always getting to talk about because I watch a lot of people with lymphedema suffer because they don't rap. Like even when I was going to my local YMCA, there was a couple other people there with lymphedema, and they would stop me and ask me questions. And the one thing I would always say is, you got to rap. You have to rap.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're never going to wear shoes. You'll be in so much more pain if you don't rap. But, as for my boyfriend helping me with my bandages and stuff, because with the particular thigh compressions, They mm-hmm. are so difficult to not only put on, but you don't get to move around because they work so well. If you try to, you can keep them on for like 5 minutes. The second you start standing up and moving around, they're sliding down. And it wasn't because of my already heavy set size. It was not practical mm-hmm. for me to use them because I am a creature of movement. I don't stay in bed all day. I like to do stuff, especially since I was more bedridden. I definitely like to do stuff. So it was not practical for me to keep trying to use them. I mean, at bedtime, they come in handy. But again, they just slide off and they move around. And just the thigh ones are the hardest ones to wear. I do have compression reduction kits. There we go. That's the one I'm looking for. I do have reduction kits for my lower legs and calves. Those mm-hmm. I can wear 24/7 day and night. I don't like to wear them 24/7 day and night, but they come in handy. They keep the swelling under control when you have a reduction kit for the lower legs. And those I can put on by myself. But one great thing about my life partner is he's ready and willing. If I ever need help wrapping anything, he's game. Or even now that I do wound dressings and stuff, he asked me earlier today when I was doing my wound dressing if I needed help at all.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I'm glad you have someone that loves you and is willing to help you like that. That means a lot. That really does.
It really does. It really does.
It really does. And I know you were telling me in the video that I was talking about, I saw of yours, you were bedridden for 4 years, right?
Yeah, just a little bit shy of four.
Just about. And so mm-hmm. How old were you when you were first diagnosed?
Oh, when I was diagnosed, I was 27.
Okay. But, and then from I remember in your video, you said in your story, a stick, just a random stick outside, you were outside, and it punctured your leg.
Yep.
And you got a staph infection. Was it a flesh-eating bacteria?
Oh, it was a flesh-eating bacteria.
Okay.
If anyone else had stepped on that stick, they also would have ended up with a flesh-eating bacteria. It wasn't because of my lymphedema, but that stick had a flesh-eating bacteria on it.
Yeah.
And then my lymphedema put it in hyperdrive.
I've heard about that a lot of times here in Georgia, in our in river water. There are a lot of things in the river waters that hold that flesh-eating bacterium, and it can get on people's skin as well. So you were in, and I know you had your first debulking. Mm-hmm. Your legs got up to 150 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so
I had my first debulking in 2015. My leg was roughly, it was a little bit bigger than 150 pounds then. And that happened because I had that flesh-eating bacteria that was killing the tissue in my leg, and I went to a hospital that didn't do a culture in time. They lost my culture results, so all the time I was on what's called a general antibiotic, and then the doctor came in 9 days later, finally with a culture result. They said, we have you on the wrong type of antibiotic. You need something much stronger. But by then, so much of the tissue of my leg had already died away. So they had to do the first debulking. And then even after that, they had to follow up and do a second debulking because more of the tissue was dying.
Wow. Were you ever afraid
that? That was all in 3 months.
Wow. Were you ever afraid that you were going to lose your leg?
They were asking me to just amputate. I had family members and friends that loved me, you know, saying, why don't you amputate the leg? It's okay to amputate the leg. I mean, my life was also at stake. It was, am I going to lose my leg? Am I going to lose my life? Is it going to be both? What's going to happen? And much like Katrina, it's my faith and a really good support system that held me together during that time. But it was definitely, my leg was up for debate for years, especially during that time. My leg was up for debate whether or not I would be keeping it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm glad that your faith, and I'm glad that God, there's such a miracle worker, you know? Such a miracle.
Absolutely. It's the only way, me being bedridden for 4 years, that I didn't end my own life or give in to the depression, was because I had God, and I knew that there was a plan for me, a reason why I was still there. And even though my leg was broke, busted, and disgusted, it was still there too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There is always a reason. And I was reading something today, and the lady in the little short that I was reading, she was saying how God is her A to Z, you know, is the only thing that she has to depend on and to stand on. And even though there are times where she just does not understand what God is doing at that time or in her life, she's so thankful. And it made me recognize and stop and say, thank you, Lord. There have been many times personally where I have just, okay, this is it. The pain is too much. I can't do it. This hurts too bad, you know. And but it has been my faith, and it has been God's mercy and grace that has helped me. So I get it. I really get it when you say that your faith, because I haven't laid in a bed as long as you have, but I have been in a bed for a while. And I couldn't imagine being in a bed 3 years and not even being able to put your feet on the floor and do anything. So, you are a strong young lady. You're a very strong young lady. And I admire that about you. Yeah, I really do.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yeah.
I admire your strength also.
Well, I appreciate that. So, you know, it gets difficult, but.
So from one person who's battled with disability to another, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
What, for those days when you are exhausted, where your body and mind are tired and you're trying to push through, what are some things that you do manage to do to entertain yourself or feel productive, even if it's just in a fun way? What is something you do for enjoyment during those times?
I do AI art. I've picked up a new hobby. And I can create art by writing out things that are in my mind. I've shared a few pictures that I've done that I thought were nice, but there are some where I have the really dark ones, the really sad ones I haven't shared. The ones that, there was one I did. It was really dark. It depicted my suicide. I've also done some art where I've done my funeral. It was nothing, but if you've ever did AI prompting and working with AI art, you know for a fact that AI does sometimes what it wants to.
Yeah.
So it did not turn out what it was supposed to be, really somber, but when the picture came out and I looked at it, all I could do was really just laugh at it, because it was it made no sense, and I just thought, that's God saying, get over yourself.
You're just like, no, you're not going to even look at it. You're not going to imagine it. I'm not letting you have this one.
Yep, exactly. And so, but that's something that I do. It gives me, I can do it on those days where it hurts to move. And I don't have to have anything else. I don't have to get anything else. All I need is my phone, my stylus, and my imagination. And I go places. I also talk to my husband a lot of times. I talk to my mom. I talk to my angels that have went on. And I pray. And sometimes I wail and I cry. And I just lay there and I just cry. And I've always said to myself, it's okay, baby girl. My mommy always called me baby girl. Baby girl, it's okay. It's okay, baby.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to cry, cry. When you get through crying, baby, I want you to get up. I want you to go wash your face and wipe the tears away. And then you keep going and you start your day. And that's sometimes what I do. And I'll just cry. And I'll get up and I'll wash my face. And I'll start my day. What I do?
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's important, especially if anyone is listening to this and they have disabilities or they just plain old don't know what to do with themselves. It's good to hear the different things that different people with disabilities do to keep their minds off of things or just feel like being creative gives your brain the serotonin and the dopamine of completing a task. So even if it's just for fun, you get that dopamine hit and it helps clear your head of all the physical pain or mental pain or emotional pain. So I think it's important to share with each other the different things, different activities we can do to have some fun, plain and simple.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And I used to say, I read, but I can't focus now to read a book. And I think that is, I used to hide away. And I don't still do sometimes, but not the ways that I used to. I used to hide away in things, in food, and I don't hide away in those things anymore. And now they don't bring me pleasure. And just good old therapy. I try to encourage people, if you need therapy, get it. It's okay. It doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you're lacking, that you are, it doesn't mean any of that. It just means that you need someone other than your friend or your husband or your boyfriend or your mom or whomever. You need someone objectively to talk to. And it's okay.
Yeah.
And therapy was the best thing that that God helped me to give myself.
I totally agree. Therapy is excellent, especially when you're dealing with this. I mean, for anybody, but for those of us who have disabilities, it's so it goes so far beyond the physical. It becomes a mental and spiritual illness. Also, it can impact every part of you when you allow it, and I think therapy helps you come to grips with that. And recenter and focus your mind.
Yes.
It's so healthy. And whether, and not all illnesses are physical. Some of them are just invisible illnesses. Everybody at some point has gone through some sort of trauma in one way or another. So I highly advocate for therapy.
Absolutely. And it also can give you coping skills. And because a lot of times we have things, we have skills, but they don't always fit every situation. Yeah. And there are things that come up in your life sometimes, and what you used to do just not going to work this time. It's just not going to work. And so you need help. And it's okay to ask for help and say, I need help. And I need help to cope. I need help to figure out how I can put myself back together. Because ultimately, that's what you're doing. And I think when things happen in our lives, the biggest slap in the face to God, I feel sometimes, is when we don't get the point, when we don't grow and change, and when we don't evolve. Because I feel like some things, I don't think God says, well, I'm going to let this happen to them. I'm going to let this happen to her. I'm going to give her this. I'm going to give her stage 14. No. But I do believe that it happens, and in the midst of it happening, it was a moment for me and God for me to recognize who God is in my life and for God to prepare me, because I feel like everything was that has happened in the last couple of years was for preparation for something else. And though I may not be able to see what that something else is right now, or I may not even be able to fathom that there could be of something else, but there is something else that God is preparing me for and using me for. So, and if I don't recognize that and see that, it's a disservice to God. That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. I asked you the question, you answered. There's a lot of people that they'll be like, well, God never gives you more than you can handle. And to that effect, it's like God gave us free will, and then he's not going to intervene when our genealogy and our bodies have something that we're predisposed to. You know, there are times where he doesn't intervene and fix it. It just happens because that's the natural circle of things. That's what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to come to grips with that with my own lymphedema, because there was a window in my life during my puberty where I could have not developed the swelling unless I got injured, unless I got severely injured. And mm-hmm. my body chose violence. It chose
Hello.
That it was going to swell on up. Hello.
Yep. Absolutely. And also, there are, I don't know about you, but I know for me, there was a moment where God told me and said, this is happening. But of course, me in my flesh, in my humanness, did not want to believe it or hear it, because why would you say that? Why would I think that? But I had that moment where, and I've also asked the question, Lord, when did this happen? And just yesterday, there's this little voice inside, and it said, you know, when you first felt in 2014, and you said, oh, your shoulder was hurting, and you thought it was just a pinched nerve. That's when it was.
So, wait, what do you have in your shoulder?
Oh, when I first, before my cancer diagnosis in 2014, I was diagnosed with having a pinched nerve.
Oh, but it turned out that you actually have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I had a childhood friend that had cancer. She had a small bump on her neck, and her dance teacher noticed it while she was dancing. And she's like, hey, why don't you just have this checked out just in case? And that teacher saved her life, because they just thought it was, you know, like a bump from dancing or some sort of muscle or something like that. And it turned out that it was cancer. So it's amazing how God will also orchestrate things to protect you, even in the midst.
Yes.
Like, you're going to go through it. You're going to have to go through it, but all the way. I like to say that while you're going through the storm, God's the one holding the umbrella.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, absolutely.
Hello?
That's beautiful. Hey. Lady,
hey.
That you?
Yes.
Okay, I knew I was hearing a third voice.
Yeah.
Girl, you had me thinking I was tripping or something. I had too much peach wine.
I like that, what you just said. I was
I'm glad you're home and everything
Thank
is
you.
Going well.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
You still there?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to interrupt y'all's conversation, so I had accidentally hit the – that's why I was like, oh, I really like that. And when I said that, it hit the mute button. But I'm wearing, like, four different hats at one time, so that's why I've been on the mute challenge over here. So sorry about that.
No, you're good. I wanted you to tell us a little bit about your story, if you like to share. Excuse me.
So my situation is, as Katrina was saying, with lymphedema, I had that early on from what my doctor has told me. But what happened is I had a surgery right after having my daughter that damaged some lymph nodes. And so with that came a lot of changes. Just like a lot of the ladies have said, I've always been plus size. I've always been a thick child. And they've always said it's something wrong, like diets are not helping, pills are not helping, exercise is not helping. You'll lose, but for me, it's from my legs up to the middle portion of my stomach. So for me, I can lose weight everywhere except for in those areas. Well, after my surgery in 2007, that's when my legs started really growing. Well, me being me, I just assumed just because I'm heavy set, it's because I'm a plus size woman, so just keep going. Fast forward 4 years later, I went to the doctor and he was like, so how long have you had stage 4 lymphedema? I said, what? And he said, yeah, let me show you. And he gave me some material, which he kept because he said it's the only thing he had, because unfortunately the UK, which is a good thing for them, is a little bit more knowledgeable of this than here. And he was showing me some things, and that's when I found out about pumps and wraps and things like that. And then there's also a surgery, some surgeries you can have. And so it was like, okay, so for me, I'm going to come home and I'm going to research for myself. And I just kept pushing. And as Katrina said, I don't think people realize, and Cam, you probably can attest to this, and y'all probably already talked about it, how hard it is just for day-to-day activities for us, how heavy your weight can be, and for you to keep going. And I told someone, I said, it's equivalent to probably having like 2 2-year-olds attached to your legs, and you're having to walk and move and stuff like that with them. My worst case of being sick with it was when I took a trip right before COVID to see my father. And normally that trip is 6 hours. Well, due to traffic, it was 10. And I came back home and my legs were burning, cramping. I could barely walk. Mm-hmm. And I begged them not to put me in the hospital because I have a child. And I was on antibiotics. And I played it smart because I always, when I go out of town, when I come back, I'll take a day or two off work the day after just to get myself, you know, back together. You know, you go out of town, you don't want to just rush right to work. And I was in bed for those 2 days. And that's the worst flare I've had. And I tell people, you can go to your car and get in your car with no problem. I go to my car to get in my car, and it's going to take me a minute. If I accidentally hit my leg with my car door, it could be problems. Like, I don't think people realize how sensitive our legs are.
Slide the seat back and that little bar at the bottom from you sliding the seat back, like, scratch up your leg. Oh,
no. Yeah. That.
My mom used to have to put padding on those.
Yeah.
Now I do.
Mosquito bites. or
girl,
you get what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I said, where it's normal for you guys, for us, that could lead to us going into the hospital or, you know,
yeah,
or whatever. So I explain it to people. It was really hard for some of my people. I'm just like you, Jim. I'm very active in church. So for the longest, singing in the choir and stuff, and they were like, why are you sitting? And I said, y'all just don't understand. One of my legs will give out on me. And that's just because of, you know, if I'm really having a flare-up, it's too heavy for me. Or my knee will give out. I have a bad knee. So, and I was like, you guys don't understand. And what bothered me, it was, oh, it's your weight. And not being funny,
yeah,
but just being the sarcastic woman that I can be, I said, I've been fat my whole life. I know what I look like more than anyone. I'm not bothered by that. But what I'm not going to be is a joke. I'm not going to do something that I know my body isn't capable of doing. I'm not going to push my body to the limit, because when I push, I could end up in the hospital, and that causes other issues where I have a person I'm responsible for. So if you can't respect that, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. And they finally was like, oh, okay. They started taking it more serious. So I always post about Lymphedema Awareness Month and try to share some facts and stuff, and especially to let people know that lymphedema does not only affect plus-size people. It also affects smaller brothers and sisters, because I had a very close associate, may weigh 100 pounds soaking wet, and her legs were what Jam will probably understand I'm saying, columns. There was no ankle. And people were, what's wrong with her? And I looked at her and I said, you have lymphedema like I do. And she said, yeah. And she was in and out of the hospital. And she said, people just don't understand. I said, they don't get it. And it's hard to explain. And it's something that the doctors are behind on. And that's frustrating when you go to doctors and they want to press and pull on your legs and you're like, okay, that's swelling. That's lymphedema. Stop poking on me. So that's it. But I agree with Katrina. I think that it is important for people to learn what it's about, to be respectful of those that live with it, and be supportive of those who live with it. Because as of right now, there isn't a cure. And it is very hard for those of us who fight this fight. And we do have our good days and our bad days, but we push through by the grace of God. So that's my story. I hope I didn't interrupt you guys. Like I said, I didn't mean to come in like that.
No,
but
not at all.
No, dude, you're good. You're good. My thing is I think, like you, me, and Katrina, we all have that one thing in common, that we've always been overweight our whole lives. And one of the things is that a lot of diets weren't able to help our lymphedema. It was a sign that, hey, there's something else is wrong. But I also think being overweight helped mask the lymphedema or lipedema as well, because you just go, oh, well, I'm heavier set. And also when you have, I know for lymphedema, it's a lot harder to manage your lymphedema when you're also battling your weight as well. It's such a tricky situation to try to take care of both, because I have friends that are smaller than me but do have lymphedema, and they're able, it's easier for them to wrap their leg than it is for me to use 6 bandages to wrap all the way up my thigh.
My goodness. The first time I went for wraps, the therapist was like, oh, can you wrap your own legs? No, I'm very independent. So I'm like, yeah, I got this. She's like, are you sure? Yeah. I got home everywhere. I was like, never mind.
Yeah. And
it,
the more you... the more you move around, the better your circulation will get, because we already have crap circulation as it is. I can say crap, right? Okay.
We already have
crap circulation as it is. So the more we move around, our crap circulation at least gets a little bit better. And just this year, I found out from a friend who has diabetes that he's taking medication for his circulation. And I'm just like, wait. They have medication to help boost your circulation? Why aren't they giving that to people with lymphedema? I've had lymphedema for years now, and ain't nobody tell me about this until my current dermatologist finally put me on some medication to boost my circulation.
Yeah, I
definitely noticed a difference.
You have noticed a difference?
Good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've definitely noticed a difference.
Good.
So first, I have to be conscious and time myself because I work sitting down to get up, and they say that you should at least 37 steps an hour, but just to take some steps, because if I sit here all day and, you know, just, you know, go to lunch, go to whatever and take a break or whatever, it does not help at all. Like you said, movement is good for us, yet it's hard for some of us to move. So it's like a catch 20.
Yeah, you can't overdo it, otherwise you end up in the hospital, but you can't undo it, otherwise you end up swollen to all hell.
I can't relate to the swollen part, but I can relate because I have osteoarthritis, and the best thing for my legs is to keep them moving. But when it's bone chilling cold in the winter months, how when it does hurt to lift my leg, it's just I don't know, it's like, what are you supposed to do? And then you try to get the little, I've gotten the little step machine thing, you know, to step on and under while I'm sitting and doing nothing, work my feet and my legs, and it helps. But if you just, that those days where it just hurts, what are you supposed to do? And yes, and I can agree with you, Dan. They don't tell a lot of people about the medications to help with the circulation. Most of the time, they only want to give diabetic gabapentin for that, you know, and that's an old drug. It's a very old drug.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, isn't there anything else? But then there are some diabetics that they can't take the other medication. But yeah,
gabapentin doesn't really help much with circulation at all.
Or nerve damage.
Yes, that's what I take it for. I have, because of my Charles procedure where they removed the 125 pounds of leg, I ended up with some severe nerve damage on the outer side of my leg. So I'll be taking gabapentin for a while because it's permanent nerve damage. The only thing that I can do to help treat it is what they call touch therapy, which is you constantly rub or touch the nerve damage so that it gets more adjusted to feeling.
Yeah.
So I had to start doing that because I have a dog that likes to rub up against that exact spot. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to have to do something. I'm going to have to do this touch therapy because she likes to just rub against mom's leg right there for some reason.
Yeah, I have a spot like that. I have to be careful when I'm driving because I'll prop my leg up against the car door. And I have done it before. And basically I've done it so hard, and I didn't realize that it had penetrated the skin because I can't feel it. And my leg was there. So, yeah, you have to be very careful. And I have nerve damage in my leg, not from lymphedema, but from I had a procedure where they break both of your legs to straighten the bones. And I had pins, like broad pins in there, and they had to be turned counterclockwise and then counterclockwise and clockwise. And so on the side of my leg, I have nerve damage. I can't feel anything. So that's why I have it. But I was told to do touch therapy as well. And it worked on one side, but the outer side, it does not work. It didn't work.
I do have a funny nerve damage story, if you guys will indulge me for a couple more minutes.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So the year is 2020, and this handsome Caucasian male comes to meet me for the first time in my Decatur home, and he finds out that my dryer is broken. So he invites himself to come over again and come fix my dryer. He's really trying to impress your girl. And somehow while he's down there, he has sliced his thumb open and is bleeding all over my basement floor. He doesn't tell me anything. He looks for a towel, and he dries his thumb up, dries the blood up with his towel, and comes back upstairs and shows me the slice in his thumb. I'm like, hey, don't you need to go to the hospital and get stitches? He's like, no. I'll just apply pressure and it'll be fine. He's one of those survival kind of guys. So, yeah, he has permanent nerve damage from the second day we ever met. And now we just call that his wedding name. He will never forget me. He's mine forever. Permanently locked. He will not forget me.
Look, I'm sitting over here like, I think she's talking about her boob.
I am. I am indeed. Yes. And to this day, if you bump that thumb, he'll go, because he still feels it. It still hurts. I'm just like, uh-huh. Remember, you love me.
So cute. Oh, my God.
He brought me flowers the first day we met, and then he was like, oh, yeah, I can come back and fix your dryer for you, no problem. I'm like, okay. He did help to fix the dryer. He came back a third time and helped fix the dryer, even after the first time he got all bloody and whatnot. He still came back and worked on it again.
It was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
You can see it on the picture. When I see you guys, y'all have this young love smile. It is so cute, like that smile. And I'm like, yeah. That there, you know how people meet who's supposed to be together. Y'all supposed to be together. Mm-hmm. You're definitely supposed to. But I can't wait to meet you. Like,
thank you. I can't wait to meet you too.
Yeah, I have followed you, and I saw that you were a part of Juicy Peaches, and I was like, oh, okay. I hopefully get to meet her. And just so for everyone else to know, I think you guys may know, I've already met Katrina. Me and Katrina, I went out with her on her birthday. And when I tell you what you just got a sample tonight of who she is. She is hilarious. She is who she is. She owns it. That's one of the most beautiful, most inspirational people you will meet. And her mom is the same way. She is a wonderful, wonderful person. So the lymphedema ball, if you guys come, you are going to have a blast. That young lady, oh, my goodness. I say
like. I describe her as she is the vibe. I got to do a photo shoot with her and one other Lipedema warrior, and Katrina and her mom were just amazing. Like I said, she is the vibe, and I'm glad that we'll get to be co-hosting together. The ball's going to be a great time. This tomboy is going to be dressed up, so y'all better give your girl some extra love for that, because I do not get dressed up like that for nobody.
Gotta take pictures. Sent me an email and I clicked off of it. They got so many dresses on there right now. And they are X plus wear.
I have been stalking that for weeks.
I'm making it known now. Under my dress will be sneakers.
Of course.
It will be sneakers, most likely Vans.
Okay.
Of course.
Because I draw the line at dress shoes. This is, and I always claim lymphedema. I can't. My feet are swollen. I have to wear sneakers. I'm sick.
I just bought some shoes today, and I took them out the box because I have not been able to wear certain shoes for 2 years now. I have to wear a lot of mules, and they want me to fall. So my doctor said, you need to get in a shoe that's going to support you. That's not any support. You don't have any support. So I actually made a purchase of some shoes, and they are perfect. So I am glad that your girl spent a little bit of money on them. So those will be under my...
I love shoes. Message me what kind.
Huh?
I love shoes. Message me what kind.
Okay. I definitely will.
Because my boo, one of my goals was when I finally was able to start walking again, I wanted to have my first pair of Jordans. And I had a couple people offer to get them for me, and it fell through. And then my boo, he took me by a sneaker store, and he bought me my first pair of Jordans in honor of me being able to walk again for the first time. It was a year after my first steps, but 2 years actually I did it because he wanted me to have that experience. He's like, you earned it. You deserve it.
Right.
You worked hard to walk again.
Yeah.
So, may I have a question? I saw a video where you were in the wheelchair and you got up to walk and you were walking in grass. Was that your first steps or no?
That was my first steps in grass. And that makes a difference because my first actual steps were on, like, almost basketball court surface, as smooth as can be, as safe as can be. And then walking in grass is completely unexpected. You don't know if it's even or not. It's a whole nother challenge. Since it wasn't – my first steps were in that video, though, because it was in one of the clips that my sister had filmed. So you see my first steps in the video, but the big finale was me walking on something so uneven for the first time.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. I like that.
I was scared. I was definitely scared because I'm like, if I fall, it's going to ruin the video and I'm going back to the hospital.
Oh. I wanted to ask you, I know you about your boo. So when and how did you tell him about your lymphedema? Did he already know?
He saw my profile on Facebook Dating, which is basically like the garbage of all dating app website things. Like Facebook Dating was not great when it first started. So I basically just say he got me off of Facebook Market. But on my profile, my profile picture had me and and my cane in it. And it does say there, say in my profile that I had lymphedema, but it's not like he really knew what lymphedema was. He just saw me in my cute little outfit with my cane, and I wanted to make sure that my profile said, hey, I have lymphedema, and it showed that I had a cane, because I didn't want to waste anybody's time, and most importantly, I didn't want anybody wasting my time. I wanted to be upfront and honest that I have a handicap. Do not expect me to function like the average. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. We don't do average. I was using the cane mainly then, not so much now, but most of the time then I was using the cane, so I needed someone to understand that that was part of how I got around.
Yeah.
And he messaged me first, and from there we just started talking, and I lived in one of the worst neighborhoods in Decatur. And it was during 2020, around COVID times, and we couldn't go anywhere. And I told him what neighborhood I lived in. And his best friend said, you know what? If you have to go down there to meet this girl, I'll take a gun with you. Because it was that bad of a neighborhood. And he came down there anyway, and he brought flowers and not a weapon. And he did a kickflip to impress me because we both liked skateboarding. So he did a kickflip and brought me flowers.
Oh,
and then invited himself to fix my dryer the next day.
Good,
Brian. I just said, you want to come back here? Oh, my gosh.
That's so sweet. Love.
Yeah, he drove over an hour to get to my townhouse in that neighborhood.
Wow.
Next to drug dealers.
Wow.
Yeah, I knew.
You're not
it.
Still
I
in that neighborhood, are you?
No,
you're
that
not
was
still
one
there,
of
are
the.
You?
No, that was one of the main things when we officially got together. He was determined that he wanted to get me and my family out of that neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that was
That's
one of the promises he made. He was like, "I'm getting you out of here. You're not staying in that neighborhood."
Oh.
That shows he really cares. He cares.
Mm-hmm.
Cares about
mm-hmm.
safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that God did bless you. By far, not a perfect man, but he is a very good man, and I know he's what God has for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I haven't had a whole bunch of dating experience. And I feel like because I've been so patient and careful with who I interacted with romantically, I know God has him for me.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. that's a beautiful
thing. But fortunately,
thing.
He's asleep and he can't hear any of this, so he doesn't get a big head.
And he doesn't have to be perfect. He just needs to be perfect for you. And that's it. And that's all that matters. All that matters.
He's perfect for you. Yes. Last year
that's
was the
wonderful.
Very first time ever having to call 911 because I had chills so bad I couldn't call for the ambulance myself. And that was the first time he's ever called 911 in his life was to try to get me help.
That's sweet. Yeah. He's a keeper. He's definitely a keeper.
Oh, yeah. He understands
How long
that
have y'all been
as
together?
A person with going on 4 years in May. And I knew he was definitely the one because as a person with primary lymphedema that's hereditary and my kind being so rare and aggressive, I've decided that I don't want to have biological children, and he agrees with that. When we can get married, and we do want to get married, it's just an issue with Medicaid right now. We also want to adopt children together, because he agrees with me about that, and that's a big thing, because not every man will agree to say, hey, I'm not going to have biological children, and that was one of the things that he's 100% supportive about. And that was one way I'm like, okay, I see you. All right. You the one.
Yeah, that is a big thing.
You're right.
That's a beautiful thing. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
I really am. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Jam says that I need to do a Risa Tisa before TikTok gets taken down. What you
yes! Think?
Okay.
Who did I miss?
Yeah.
No, you need to do what the F just happened. Because your story has so many twists and turns, like, it's just a what the F happened.
Girl. Girl, yeah. Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to do that before TikTok gets taken down. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to.
Please do. I'll follow. You know I'll listen.
I'm going to need y'all to pray for my daughter because, oh, my God. She's just, I don't understand. I'm like, it's going to be okay. Promise. They're not going to do anything.
How old is your daughter?
Very similar to it and call it something else. She's 16.
Mm-hmm.
She has a birthday this month. So.
I have a little brother about that age.
I can understand how she feels. I too am now addicted to the TikTok.
I knew what I was doing. I can't do it. I never got on.
I'm a YouTube shorts girl, but I do upload my voice acting videos to TikTok.
I watched your voice acting videos on TikTok. They were good.
Really?
I was like, I need to do this. So, I now have 17 followers on TikTok.
Ayo. That's dope. Congratulations.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I'm tickled. I was like, oh, wow, you're actually following me? And the creepy little thing is that people can look at your, like, it'll tell you when people look at your profile.
Yeah.
No spying on
you
there.
You know, Risa Tisa only had a few followers when she first uploaded Who the F Did I Marry, so I'm just saying, she only had a few followers and then it blew up. You'll start with 17 and then bam!
And now she's signed to a talent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I think, honestly, I think she'll be an amazing audiobook narrator. I think she would be an amazing audiobook narrator.
Every time, y'all have to look. Every time Risa uploads a video on TikTok, Legion uploads a video on TikTok, and it's almost identical to the type of video that Risa uploads on TikTok.
I'll confess right now, I never actually watched all of Risa Tisa. My ADHD would not allow it. I just watched the recaps. I can't do it. Y'all will just have to love and accept me for who I am. The ADHD would not have it.
Yeah, it took me a minute because of mine. I did skip some parts, and then once I came to the end, I went back to what I skipped because I did skip important parts. So some stuff I was like, what is she talking about? But, okay. I'm going to leave that right.
He just got out the hospital, y'all. He said he was in the hospital and the Lord the Lord saved his life.
God
is so good. And his
people are following him just to hear what his lies are going to be. Some people are following him just to find out what he's going to say next.
Where's the proof? That's what somebody said.
Some people just like to watch the world burn in the chaos. I'm also one of those people that just enjoy to hate watch in the chaos.
Yeah. That's basically it. That little 3-hour interview that he did, he just made me so mad. Oh my goodness.
What bothers me is that no one's perfect. Nobody's perfect. We all have our flaws and whatever. But unlike her, she took accountability for stuff that I knew it was a red flag, but I ignored it. I knew it was a red flag, but he didn't take accountability for anything. I couldn't watch it because it just made me mad because I'm like, you're not taking accountability for anything. And when it's all said and done, it takes two people to be in a relationship. How are you engaged to someone, but they can't see your bank account, but you want to spend the rest of your life with them, but they can't see what you got in the bank? How does that work? I was like, your lives don't even make sense. Like,
And
then the guy that was doing the interview, did you see him? Well, you probably, if you didn't watch the whole thing, you probably did. Even the little guy that was interviewing him looked at him a couple of times like, dude, you lying. It was so funny. Like, are you sure that's what happened?
Right. Are you hearing yourself? Like, some of it, the reason he didn't get her a car, the reason, it was just silly stuff. And it's like, honestly, in my opinion, I think he came into it thinking that he had to have all this stuff to gain her attention or her affection or whatnot. And probably somewhere in the mix found out she's actually wasn't that type of female. Like, be who you're supposed to be and not put a representative out there, or especially a fake one, and you don't have anything remotely to what you're portraying. You don't have anything like that. Like, I think that's why he lied about his job and et cetera, because he wanted to be something or taking on the identity of someone that he isn't or maybe admired. The fact that he's been doing it for a while, she wonder if there's some other issues there, because apparently he's done a couple of times, I guess.
Well, he's supposed to be his brother.
I'm a neurological nerd.
Said,
oh, you go ahead. You go first.
I was just about to say his oldest brother said supposedly, allegedly, that he is bipolar schizophrenic. And I can see that, because if you can be on a telephone and pretend that you're talking to somebody for hours, I'm just not clicking right.
But in your mind, you having a real conversation.
He was.
Yeah.
Honestly, when she was talking about him having conversations with someone, and he would say, oh, hey, so-and-so, hey, babe, so-and-so told me to tell you hello. And I was like, it wasn't nobody on that phone before she even said it. And then when they said, well, he was schizophrenic, and I was like, that makes sense to me, because they hear voices. People have conversations with them in their heads, and they tell them to do things. So it's very possible.
Right, but I found it unique that every woman he would portray as cheating on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I couldn't understand, yet he was the one on social media and other platforms or in his phone, texting or flirting with other women, yet he would say those women, his ex and her, were cheating on him.
Well, that's the narcissistic point of it, is that
of course
that woman would have to be cheating to leave him. He's the best. Mm-hmm. He's the man. Like, there's nothing wrong with him. Of course she's cheating, because why else would she want to leave me but for someone else, and it's her mistake.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those neurological nerds. I think the brain is incredible and beautiful and just amazing. And I want him to end up on Dr. Phil so that Dr. Phil can get him one of those really dope brain scans and see what else is wrong with him.
Ooh. He would never.
Because brain scans are so cool.
That would be my dream.
I would want him to get a brain scan because I just want to know what's to make him act that way besides narcissism.
I don't know. She just mad because
getting late,
y'all. He's got a new girlfriend.
How did he? What? Wait, what?
He's supposed to have a new girlfriend.
No way.
Right? How? I don't know. But that's what he says. And I'm like,
he's getting a brain scan. Everybody's getting a brain scan. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the Oprah brain scan. You get one. Everybody getting a brain scan. But, y'all, it's getting late. I gotta wrap it up for the night.
Me too. Thank you all for coming on.
Podcast.
I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. I would have me back anytime. It'd be my pleasure.
I definitely will. So tomorrow, guys, we are doing Riri and Deidre, and I are coming back, and we are doing Sasha in the Hot Seat, take two. Hopefully it will sound better. And then I will be like, oh God, this sounds horrible. But that's going to happen tomorrow night at 9 p.m. So if you're interested in hearing all the dirty, whatever you want to think you're going to hear, come on down. Dial the number. Call in. Send questions through the email or just listen to the show. It should be interesting and fun. So something fun to do. So I hope you all will join in and listen to that. Also coming up in the 1st of April, I'm going to have a young lady that is a young lady entrepreneur. She has a mobile nail shop and she has a mobile bakery, Marquesha Dudley. She's going to come on the show and talk about her two businesses that she has. Nicole Sweets is her mobile bakery, and I can't remember the name, but it's a mobile nail shop. So she's going to talk about that, and then after that, we're going to have Unique is going to come back on. Well, she's going to come on, and she's going to talk about the butterfly ball and the expo that's going to take place in June. So look for that the second week of April and get her on. So you may hear Jam, you may hear Katrina, you may hear them again. So we'll just see how that goes and what happens. So stay tuned for that. I want to thank my guests for coming in. Thank you, ladies, for coming in with me and talking and sharing your personal triumphs in your story. Sam, do you want to tell people where they could possibly reach out to you if they would like?
Sure. You can find me on TikTok if you love listening to this fabulous voice and the many other voices I'm able to do. Search me under Warrior Jam on TikTok, and you can find me under Jamila Coleman on Instagram. Shoot me a message if you want to know about my surgery or any of my lymphedema journey, or just say what's up. So that's Jamila Coleman on Instagram or Warrior Jam on TikTok.
Okay, great. Thank you. And so, again, thank you, Lady T, for coming on again and sharing triumphant story. So we're going to call it a night. Thank you all for listening. I'm your girl, your diva, Sasha, and we are over and out.